You know, I'll just tell you something. God's Word is so powerful, and I am so privileged. I am so privileged to get to preach a sermon once a week. I am so privileged to go through the I am privileged. I am so privileged that I'm going to preach this morning. And that means that, you know, whether I had Christmas shopping to do yesterday or certain other things to do during the week, you know, I'm privileged because, you know what, it didn't really matter whether I had Christmas shopping to do. I'm privileged because I needed to go to the Word. I had to go to the Word. And so what that means is I got to learn all about Joseph again. You know, I've learned about Joseph over the years. I love preaching the characters. I love preaching about the people in the Christmas story. They are so real. They're so real, and God moves in their lives and in their hearts, and I get to just throw myself into that. And I get to talk to you today about Joseph. I have told you before, he's one of my most favorite in the whole Bible. What do you think it means for a human being to be chosen to be the daddy of the only begotten Son of God? Think about it. You know, really, you look at your Christmas cards and there's a picture of Mary and Joseph in the manger, and then there's baby Jesus, and we see Joseph and we see Mary. Why don't you think about it? How God choose a human being, a dad, a father, to be his son's daddy? What criteria would he use? Would it be because he was very spiritually gifted? Would it be because, you know, of his DNA? Would it be because of his heritage? Would it be because of his life experience? What would be the basis for God to use to choose the man to be the daddy of his son? Because remember, Christ was a human being, was born as a human being in a human world. That means all of the pains and struggles and hurts, the bad decisions, that means that his son would have been impacted by all those bad decisions. Oh, who would you choose? And what would be the basis of choosing a man to be your son's daddy? Well, I'll tell you one thing it wasn't. I'll tell you one requirement was not that he was verbal. You know why I say that? He never says a word in all the New Testament. Joseph never speaks in all the New Testament. The daddy of the Son of God, and he never opens his mouth. Mary, she's got almost a whole chapter. Got almost a whole chapter. I don't know if the Lord's telling us something about the difference between men and women there. My wife's not here today, you know, so I can sort of be a little freer. But don't you tell her if I say something I'm not supposed to say, because y'all told her last time and I got in trouble. But anyway, he never says a word. And you know what I've learned about as I've studied Scripture is I've learned that there's nothing that is by happenstance. Particularly because it's this way with all Scripture, but in the Christmas story, every single element, every single fact that's in there is in there because God has a plan and purpose. He's saying something. He's communicating something. He's doing something. And I was talking about this in the 8 o'clock service. Think about, for example, Sherry, who's just wrote our Christmas pageant. Okay, you know, she chose Rachel Williams to be the forgetful grandmother. Chose Paul Marcet to be the grandpa that just sort of wanders off all the time, and the two of them are paired together. Now, I wonder why she did that. Well, if you know Rachel Williams, you know Paul Marcet, we know why they were paired together. They were a riot. And the lines that were in the script, what Sherry had to do, she had to sit down and figure out, okay, well, they're going to say this now, they're going to say that now, this now. Every single thing that they said, well, supposedly everything they said, because they ad-libbed a lot, but what I'm saying is every single thing in the script was put there with thought and intention and effort. My point is, when we open the text and we look at the story of Mary and we look at the story of Joseph, we look at the story of the wise men, we look at the story of the shepherds. I can't wait to tell you about the shepherds. Everything that's in there, the people that are chosen, are because God's writing the script. Now, the one thing I know about Joseph, I'd have never done it this way. Never. No. Let me show you. Matthew 1, verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. When he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, and he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Here's the first thing that I would point out to you when I say I would never have done it this way. I want you to notice back there in verse 18, notice what the text is telling us. The birth of Christ was as follows. When Mary, his mother, had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me sort of refresh our memory on exactly what happens between Matthew and Luke. In Luke, what happens is this. We have an angel's visitation to Zacharias who foretells of the coming of or the birth of John the Baptist. Right after that, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy of John the Baptist, what happens is the angel Gabriel then comes and visits Mary. Tells Mary she's going to have a son and that son is going to be conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. The text tells us in Luke chapter 1 that this is the sixth month of Mary, of Elizabeth. So here's what happens. Mary immediately gets up, leaves her home. She goes to see Elizabeth to see if she's pregnant. She finds out if she is. The 56th verse tells us that what Mary does is she stays at Elizabeth's home for about 3 months. She leaves just before John is born. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think it would be a little unusual for someone to go to another's home who's supposed to have a baby, and they stay there for 3 months, and just before the baby is born, they leave to go back to their home? Does that make sense to you, ladies? That makes no sense to me at all. If Mary leaves just before the birth of John the Baptist, there must have been a real reason why she did that. Now, it's been a while since my wife was pregnant, praise the Lord. But I remember when she was, that for both of my sons, she got really sick in those early stages of pregnancy. So why do you think Mary left Elizabeth when Elizabeth is about to give birth, unless there was a real reason why she had to do that? Now, I know this is pure conjecture on my part because it's not in the text, but somehow I've got to explain why all of a sudden Mary leaves Elizabeth when Elizabeth's about ready to give birth. And I'll tell you how I have concluded personally. Mary left because she was sick. She had to get home because she was just not feeling the way she ought to feel. And she was beginning, she was beginning to be pregnant. And what we read in the first chapter of Matthew is this, and this is where, while I say to you, I would never have done it this way. What the text tells us is Mary was found to be pregnant. Now, think about what that text is saying. Remember, God wrote the script, okay? What it says is, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Don't think for a moment that what Mary did 6 months, 3 months prior was she had a little visit with Joseph. And she said, Joseph, I'm so excited. I had a visit from an angel. And praise the Lord, the angel told me I was going to be pregnant. We can rejoice because Joseph, our first baby, is going to be fathered by not you, but God. No, it didn't work that way. No, what happened is Mary comes back home. Now, how long did we say Mary was with Elizabeth? 3 months. So if you were Joseph and your fiance shows up after being away for 3 months and you look and she's pregnant, what do you think you're going to conclude? Come on. She's been unfaithful. God, do you think it's possible that maybe you could have just sort of rearranged the timeline just a little bit for us here? Father, was it necessary that Mary experience the condemnation and be perceived as an adulteress by her future husband? I mean, you know, Father, if you could have just changed the timeline just a little bit, maybe you could have done it this way, God. This betrothal contract, remember we said last week it was a 1 year period. God, maybe you could have done it this way. What if what happens is we have the betrothal period and now we have the wedding. And now after the wedding, you come and now at that point, that's when the child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Because that way, God, Joseph won't think that I've been an adulterer. And in fact, no one else will either. Because you see, the child will be born while we were married. And conceived while we were married, rather. So everything will go, it'll go better that way, God, if no one thinks that the child was born in sin. I don't think I'd have written it that way. Joseph finds Mary pregnant. I wonder why God did it that way, though. Let's see. Verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Okay, now here's what's happening here. The timing is such, Mary has come back to Joseph. She's no less than 3 months pregnant. Joseph now realizes, he believes, that Mary's been unfaithful, and so here are his options. The first option is this. Joseph can have a public trial with the rabbi in charge, the local rabbi in charge, and the purpose of that trial will be to separate Joseph and Mary because of Mary's infidelity. And Joseph will give a divorce certificate to Mary, thereby freeing him from the relationship. And also what will happen is that Joseph will get his money back. You remember the money. A large sum of money would have been given to Mary's father by Joseph's father, which was the bridal price. And so that money is in Mary's father's possession. And so what Joseph could do is if he has this little public ceremony. Everybody knows that Mary's been unfaithful. What he does is he breaks the betrothal contract and he gets his money back, and Joseph is happy. And Mary is disgraced. That's his first option. Here's his second one. His second one is he could have insisted in the Levitical law that states that a woman who is unfaithful is to be stoned. Not just stoned. The law says the woman is to be taken to the steps of her father's house, and all the men of the city are to stone her on the steps of her father's house. Why the steps of her father's house? Because the woman has tainted her father's honor by being unfaithful. That was Joseph's second option. His third option is the one he chose. Joseph decided to put Mary away secretly. In other words, Joseph decided to do this in a very private way. Nobody would know anything, presumably anyway, and Mary would be out of the marriage contract. Joseph would be out of the marriage contract, and she would not be harmed physically. That would be just pretty much the end of the story. Now, I want to ask you a question, men in this room. What do you think? What were the feelings that Joseph was having when he came to the conclusion to put Mary away secretly? Tell me some of them. If you had been Joseph, tell me some of the feelings you would have been having upon learning that Mary had been unfaithful. He would have said, I've got the right to do this. All right, what else? What do you mean? What do you mean who he was? And
I'm convinced he knew his role.
Well, how do you see that? How is that possible?
Well,
I can't respond to that, Hank. The text does not indicate Joseph knows anything about that. And the reason why we would say that is that Joseph decides initially, before the angel comes at night, Joseph decides he's going to put her away secretly. And so if he had known what his role was, he never would have come to that conclusion. So what other feelings would Joseph have been having? Shame. Anger. Jealousy. I mean, the woman has betrayed him. Has committed adultery. Literally committed adultery. You know, I mean, I can see Joseph saying, I'm going to find out who did this. I'm going to Elizabethtown. Okay, I'm in this relationship, but I'm going to stand in the face of the man that did this, and I'm going to.
His final and the end, he loved her.
Okay.
He took the distance.
You're getting ahead of me, though. That's right. At this point, if you look at, that's good, Kim. If you look at verse 20, okay, in verse 20, he's gone through a whole sea of emotions. And he's come to a place where he's decided, you know what? I could have my vengeance, but I care about this woman. And I care about doing the right thing. When he goes to sleep that night, Joseph has decided what the right thing to do is. And here comes the angel. Verse 20. When he had considered this, in other words, once he's decided, and stay with me, once he's decided what he's going to do, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. What's this angel's name?
Gabriel.
Okay. How'd you get that? Find it. Look at the text. What's the angel's name? It doesn't have a name. Well, wait a minute now. And how did, where does, where, was, did the angel come in the daytime or the nighttime? Nighttime. And did the angel come and stand beside his bed? In a dream. Well, isn't that interesting? Zacharias got a visit from the angel Gabriel. Stood right beside the prayer altar. Okay? Right beside the prayer altar. Spoke to Zechariah. Mary. The angel Gabriel appeared in Mary's house and spoke to Mary. No question whether or not an angel is there. Now let me ask you, put all this together. The man is emotionally distraught. He's been betrayed. There are reasons to be angry. There's reason for the flesh to overcome. There are all these reasons for Joseph to be, he's not sleeping. And he has a dream. When you have dreams at night, do you wake up oftentimes and you just absolutely discombobulated? And you wonder where you are. You wonder how, you know, where you get out of bed. You're just not quite sure. You know, you're half asleep, half awake, and then you have these crazy dreams. In the morning, you forget all about them. Can't fill in the details. Let me ask you a question. You think Joseph wondered if this was real? You think Joseph ever said something like, "Where's my Gabriel? I want a Gabriel." You know, Lord, you sent Gabriel to Zacharias. You sent Gabriel to Mary. Where's my Gabriel? How come you just showed up to me in a dream? I want more than a dream, God. You ever gotten a place in your life when you just wanted the Lord to write something in the sky? Say, now, Lord, I got to go left. I got to go right. And I'm going to depend on you to tell me exactly which way to go. And you just don't hear anything? It's not clear the way. Have you ever been talking to someone about God and sharing about Jesus Christ? And I've heard people say this. They'll say, you know what? If God's real, he'll need to prove it to me. It's a good thing Joseph didn't say that, isn't it? What's God saying to us about what caused him to distinguish Joseph from the crowd? What distinguished Joseph? His faith. He was a man. Here's a man who God doesn't have to send an angel to. He doesn't need to write it in the sky. This is a man that knows him. This is a man who's already decided the righteous thing to do. But there's only one problem. The option that God wants him to take is not on Joseph's page. See, there were four options. The fourth one, Joseph didn't even consider. That option was the one the angel brought to him that night. It was to marry Mary. Why? Think about it. Mary is pregnant. By who? If Joseph goes through and marries Mary, who will be presumed to be also an adulterer? Joseph. If Joseph goes forward with this plan, he will be seen by the entire community, just as Mary is seen. Both of them as fornicators outside the will of God. Why is Joseph chosen? Here is a man who knows God so clearly that even though the option that is presented to him will result in the following to him, here's what it'll cause to happen to Joseph. Number one is he'll lose his entire family. Yeah. Go look at the book of Luke. When they have the census that takes Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, Let me ask you a question. If the census is for all of the families to go to their city of origin, how come Joseph's family's not with him? Because they've disowned him. They go to Bethlehem alone. This is a man who knows God so clearly that even if he doesn't have an angel Gabriel, this is what he believes God is telling him to do. And in spite of the fact that it will be of great cost to him, he obeys God as he understands it. And you say, well, Pastor Kip, maybe that's so, maybe it's not. Well, let me ask you a question. If it's not true that Joseph lost his family, how come when Jesus was circumcised, the family is absent? Go to the first chapter of Luke and you look at what happens when John the Baptist is circumcised on the eighth day. The whole community is there as they name John and as they circumcise the child. Where's that for Mary and Joseph? There is no one present. Now, he's lost his family, he's lost his reputation, he's lost everything he owns, and he never says a word. Never says a word of the New Testament. Now, is it not true, when things sort of go outside of our plan and outside of our way, we're going to have a little talk with the Lord about that, aren't we? What about Joseph? There's not a word in there. Because Joseph, Lord, you want me to step on a bed of coals? You tell me to step on a bed of coals, I'll step on a bed of coals. Lord, can you say that a little bit louder? I think you told me to step on a bed of coals, but I'm not sure. But I think you did, so I'm going to step where I think you told me to step. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? This is a man of faith. Something else by Joseph. Oh, I love this part. So good. What was it the angel said? Look at it again. What did the angel say? What were the words the angel said? Say them to me. What were the words? Don't be afraid. Something before that, wasn't it? Joseph who? Son of David. You think if an angel stood beside you, suppose I was asleep tonight and an angel stood by my bed. You think that the angel would say, Joseph Kipling Smith, wake up. Joseph, son of David. Son of David. Why do you think the angel said, son of David. Joseph, remember what your daddy told you about your ancestor David, the king of Israel, the greatest king that Israel had ever known. Joseph, remember what your daddy taught you. Son of David, Joseph, you are a son of David. God's got great plans for you, Joseph. You're of good stock, Joseph. You know when that angel's calling out to him, Joseph, son of David, that angel is calling down to the roots of who this man is and who he was taught he could be. You know, I tell you what, daddies, don't ever think that what you do and what you say in your child's life is not going to have an impact on them. I love when God gives us enough in Scripture. So what we've got to do is figure out, okay, God, what are you really saying here? Why did you call him son of David? He's calling him son of David. He's trying to raise him up so he can step outside of his comfort zone. He's been asked to raise the Son of God. And God's not going to ask a man to raise his only begotten son who can only see his own box. Do you understand what I'm saying, men? Joseph could see outside of his little box. He could see outside of his little remote control. He could see outside of his couch. Joseph, son of David. I want you. raise my son, son of David? Can you see beyond? Can you see beyond? You understand what I'm saying? This is a man who was able to have vision, who's able to see. This is a man who, when his fiance supposedly betrayed him, was able to put that behind him and say, you know what? I don't understand this. But in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of God, I'm going to overcome it. This man here is an overcomer. You know the thing about life? Life's all about overcoming. It's all about rising above, because every single thing in life is a struggle that we either rise above the struggle or we yield to the struggle. This is a man who could have yielded to the struggle and the disappointment, but chose instead to trust God in it, through it, and let God walk him. Do you know who it was that God said, my son shall be called Emmanuel? Who do you think God said that to? This man. He does not say it to Mary. Emmanuel, God with us, is said to the man who's going to leave this family in a place that no one would go, who cares more about what God thinks about him than all the people in the whole city and area. All of them think he's a fornicator, but what he's going to do is he's going to take this woman to wife because God's asked him to. You see, each one of us, we can yield to the struggles in life. We can yield to the struggles in life, or we can overcome them in the power of Jesus Christ. This is a man right here who is the first man to understand in person exactly what it means when he says his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph, going to be a hard time here. You know, Joseph, my son is going to be born in a time of persecution. It's going to be a time with people they don't understand. He's going to be born at a time when life's just not going right. And you know why, Joseph? It's because that's when I come. I come in a world where life's not going right. Because I'm Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father, first I pray for the person in this room who's lost sight of what it means for Christ to be Emmanuel, God with us. The marvel of Joseph and the marvel of both of them together, Father, is that when they said yes to you, Joseph woke up that morning, got out of his bed, and he did exactly what the angel told him to do. When he did that, it set in line, set in motion a succession of events that most people would have crumbled under. And yet, Father, he rose above it. He's a man of faith. One chosen because he had a silver tongue. He's chosen because he had a heart for God. It didn't matter what life brought his way. He's going to walk with Emmanuel. Precious Jesus, we honor you. We glorify your name. In the name of Christ, we pray. Our musicians are going to come now, and they're going to lead us in an invitation. If God has spoken to you today in some way to be your Emmanuel, to be an overcomer, I'll be here in the front of the sanctuary to receive you. Let's stand as they lead us in our singing.
to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see.
Your birth.
into your presence, guide me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to mirror my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the Father's hand. Help me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the Father's hand. Wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to mirror my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. Yeah.